Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, Text 31, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Svayam Samutirya Su Dustaram. Duman Bhava Arnavam Bhimam Adabhra Sohridaha Bhavat Pada Ambhuruha Navam Atra Te Nidhaya Yataha Sat Anugraha Bhavan Swayam Samutirya Sudustarang Dhyuman. Okay. Bhavarnavam Bhimam Madabra Sohridaha. Bhavat padam bhoruha nava matrate nidhaya yata sadanugraho bhavan swayam samutirya sudustarang dhyuman. Bhavarnavam Bhimam Adabhra Sohridaha. Bhavat Padam Bhoruha Nava Matrate. Nidhaya Yata Sadanugraho Bhavan. Bhimamadabra Soridaha Navam Nidhaya, Nidhaya. It's not Nidhaya, Nidhaya. When you see there's Nidha, Nidha. If it's written in Devanagari, you'll see there's one line behind. So when it's long, dirga, you say ah. That line on top means it's pronounced nidhaya. You can say nidhaya. Yata. You can read, it's easy to read. Nidhaya yata. Sadanugraho. What's the next word? Bhavan. Bhavan. No, Bhavan. It's easy to read, huh? Anyone can read it. Okay, he's a newcomer, but anyway, anyone can learn. It's easy to understand. Maybe it should be written in Devanagari, because everyone can read everyone can read Hindi script, right? This is more difficult. It's written in English script for the Western devotees who can't read the Hindi script. But everyone here, if they can read, they can read Hindi script. And this is more difficult for them to read, actually. Then you have to learn the system. Suggestion. Okay, who's next? Swayam samutirya sudustarang dhyuman bhavarnavam bhima madabrasoridaha bhavat padam bhoroha adabras nidhaya yata sadanugraho bhavan Swayam samutirya sudustarang dhyuman bhavarnavam bhima madabra sohridaha bhavat padam bhoruha navamatrate nidhaya yata sadanugraho bhavan Devis, ladies, goddesses. Swayam samutirya sudustrang dhyuman bhavarnavam bhima madabra soridaha bhavat padam bhuruha navamatrate Nidhaya yata sadanugraho bhavan Swayam. You all know what it means. Personally. Samutirya. That one's more difficult. Perfectly crossing. Sudustaram. Which is very difficult to cross. Duman, O Lord, who appear exactly like the sun, illuminating the darkness of this world of ignorance. Bhava, Arnavam, the ocean of nescience. Bhimam, which is extremely fierce. Adabhra. Sohridaha. Devotees who are incessantly friendly to the fallen souls. Bhavat. Pada. Amboruha. Your lotus feet. Navam, the boat for crossing. Atra, in this world. They, the Vaishnavas. Nidhaya, leaving behind. Yataha, on to the ultimate destination. Vaikuntha, Sat. Anugraha, who are always kind and merciful to the devotees. Bhavan, you. Translation. Who's speaking? I mean, I'm speaking, but the verse that we're going to read, who's speaking? Who's attentively? We're in the 31st verse, you should have found out by now. Demigods speaking to who? Lord Krishna. Where's Krishna? Is he in Mathura or Vrindavan? He's in Mathura. Specifically? in the womb of Devaki. Therefore, this chapter of the Bhagavatam is called, you know, Garbha Stuti. Praise to Lord Krishna in the womb. O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee, and therefore you are known as a desire tree, Vancha Kalpataru. When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet in order to cross the fierce ocean of nescience, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. Purport. This statement reveals how the merciful acharyas and the merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead together help the serious devotee who wants to return home back to Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his teachings to Rupa Goswami, said, Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. One who can achieve the seed of Bhakti Lata, devotional service, by the mercy, one can achieve the seed of Bhakti Lata, devotional service, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. The duty of the Guru is to find the means according to the time, the circumstances, and the candidate by which one can be induced to render devotional service, which Krishna accepts from a candidate who wants to be successful in going back home, back to Godhead. After wandering throughout the universe, a fortunate person within this material world seeks shelter of such a guru or acharya who trains the devotee in the suitable ways to render service according to the circumstances so that the Supreme Personality of Godhead will accept the service. This makes it easier for the candidate to reach the ultimate destination. The acharya's duty, therefore, is to find the means by which devotees may render service according to references from Shastra. Rupa Goswami, for example, in order to help subsequent devotees, published such devotional books as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Thus, it is the duty of the acharya to publish books that will help future candidates take up the method of service and become eligible to return home back to Godhead by the mercy of the Lord. In our Krishna consciousness movement, this same path is being prescribed and followed. Thus, the devotees have been advised to refrain from four sinful activities, illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating and gambling, and to chant 16 rounds a day. These are bona fide instructions. Because in the Western countries, constant chanting is not possible, one should not artificially imitate Haridas Thakur, but should follow this method. Krishna will accept a devotee who strictly follows the regulated principles and the method prescribed in the various books and literatures published by the authorities. The acharya gives the suitable method for crossing the ocean of nescience by accepting the boat of the Lord's lotus feet. And if this method is strictly followed, the followers will ultimately reach the destination by the grace of the Lord. This method is called Acharya Sampradaya. It is therefore said, Sampradaya vihina ye mantraste nishphala mataha. The Acharya Sampradaya is strictly bona fide. Therefore, one must accept the Acharya Sampradaya. Otherwise, one's endeavor will be futile. Srila Narottam Das Thakur therefore sings, Tadera charana sevi bhaktasane bash, janame janame hoy ei abhilash. One must worship the lotus feet of the acharya and live within the society of devotees. Then one's endeavor to cross over nescience will surely be successful. Om Agyana Timirandhasya. Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shrestham Manamapi Shachiputra Matra Swarupam Rupam Tasyagrajamurupurim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Matavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tamnatosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atah Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagarna Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutang Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitangstha Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare In this verse, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is addressed by the demigods by two names. Who can find out the two names? You can look at the verse. No, Sohrida is not one of the names mentioned. Dhyuman, which means? Just like the sun, illuminating. And another name? Sadanugraha. One who is... It's easier to say it in Sanskrit or Hindi. If I say Sadanugraha, you can understand very easily. One who is actually kind to others. It's not really necessary to say sadanugraha, because if you say anugraha, it must be sat, isn't it? If it's not anugraha, it's not sat. If you're being nasty to someone, that's not sat, that's asat. But it's just like the word sadguru. A guru must be sat, otherwise not a guru. But there are so many cheaters and rascals who take the position of a guru. Or it may be also that someone is a guru of playing the veena. So he's also a guru. But the Satguru is one who teaches that which is fully sat. Who teaches the difference between sat and asat. Nasato vidyate bhavo na bhavo vidyate sataha. That which is actual is eternal. That which is not actual, which is not sad, it's not eternal. So in two ways the term sadguru can be used to distinguish one who teaches the actual path of what is sat, as the teaches the Srimad Bhagavatam, which opens with Satyam Param Dhimahi. One who teaches the Srimad Bhagavatam is a sadguru. Unfortunately, to circumvent this problem of the bogus gurus, they sometimes call themselves sadguru when they're not, and then it becomes a complete confusion. Therefore, we need actual gurus to teach what is actually real and what is unreal. What is, that's sat and asat, real, unreal, eternal, non-eternal. A similar term is used, we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Swarup Damodar addresses Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving amando daya daya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives that kind of mercy which has no harmful effects, doesn't give rise to anything harmful. Actual mercy should be all around beneficial. Srila Prabhupada sometimes gave the example that persons who consider themselves to be very good welfare workers, They're doing anugraha to others, kindness to others. They will feed what they consider to be Daridra Narayana, which is an insult to Narayan to say that term. And to feed the Daridra Narayana, they cut the throat of the Chagal Narayana. Chagal is a Bengali word which means goat. They like to kill goats, and this way they... But it's not very merciful to the poor goats. And nor is it merciful to the people they're feeding who get the bad karma of eating goat's meat. And in fact, just to feed others food, that's also not sadhanugraha. Sadhanugraha, this, or proper kindness. Proper kindness is, as indicated in this verse, is to give the knowledge by which one can cross over the fierce Bhima, Bhavarnava, the fierce ocean, a very dangerous ocean of material existence. That's actual kindness. And a lot of what goes on in the world in the name of kindness, it's not really kindness. It appears to be kindness because people do not know what the goal of life is. Therefore, for instance, opening hospitals, and people think, oh, this is something very good. It helps people, but it helps people to perpetuate, it helps the body, but it perpetuates the idea that we should live very happily in this world. And feeding people with food, which is not prasadam, it perpetuates, yeah, it fills the belly, and it's only, it's asat in one sense that it's temporary benefit, and it's asat in the sense that it doesn't benefit the soul. So all these kinds of helping others within the illusion that we can enjoy, we are here to enjoy this material world, we're helping others to get fit and healthy so they can enjoy this material world. It's actually not, it's perceived to be kindness, but it's actually not kindness. It's actually the opposite of kindness. It's a kind of violence in the sense that it perpetuates the illusion that we can and should be happy in this material world. Even cow protection. Now, this is going to be a controversial point, but I'm just going to quote something which Srila Prabhupada said in a conversation. He was criticizing one Mayavadi sannyasi who was highly reputed, and Srila Prabhupada said, you see, now he's doing cow protection and politics. So he criticized him for getting into cow protection. How, what, cow protection, that's a very pious thing. Krishna likes cows. But I wondered why Srila Prabhupada was criticizing that. And then I thought that, well, it's just like food distribution. If it's not done in relationship with Krishna, then it's a pious activity, but it doesn't help people to cross over the fierce ocean of material existence. And also, sannyasis, they should be promoting this knowledge. They have this important knowledge to promote, and of how we can cross the ocean of material existence. And then for grihasthas, there are activities like pious activities, like feeding the poor, protecting cows. So it should all these activities can be done, but if they're not done in relationship with Krishna, then it all adds to the illusion of material life. And actually Srila Prabhupada in one letter wrote that even distributing food without kirtan and giving transcendental knowledge, Srila Prabhupada wrote that that is nonsense. He was writing to his disciples who presumably were distributing prasadam. So the idea is that those Srila Prabhupada wanted widespread prasadam distribution. He didn't want it to be seen simply as another kind of welfare work for the body. He wanted, in the restaurants, Srila Prabhupada said, in the restaurants that devotees are setting up, it should be clearly stated, there should be a sign on the wall, that all this food is offered to Krishna, it's spiritual food, it's prasadam. He wanted people to know that they're taking prasadam. Here is described the acharyas who take shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna in order to cross the fierce ocean of nescience. And they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. So Srila Prabhupada, he left this world and he left behind the method by which we can cross, others can cross. He gave so many books and the whole process of Krishna consciousness. So this verse very nicely describes Srila Prabhupada, doesn't it? He crossed over the ocean of material existence and left behind the books and everything. It's a good description of Prabhupada? No, I don't think so at all. Because Prabhupada was never in the ocean of material existence. He came from the spiritual world to lift us up. This verse, as I understand it, indicates that there are devotees who are crossing the ocean of material existence by the mercy of Krishna, by the mercy of Shaktyavesh Avatar, like Srila Prabhupada. There aren't many like that. And they also, by parampara, they also give the means for others following to cross. In other words, this verse indicates that in the Acharya Sampradaya, which Srila Prabhupada mentions twice in the purport here, it's not that every Acharya is or has to be someone who's come directly from the spiritual world to lift us up. Because lifting up means once you're up, you can help others to come up also. Or even if you're on the way up, you can help those who are a little bit behind come up. Srila Prabhupada's much revered and loved godbrother, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, he commented in this regard that among acharyas, there are some who are fully liberated, and there are others who are, they see the spiritual world, but they're still somewhat here, they're crossing. They're crossing, but they can also give the means to others to come up. And Srila Prabhupada also wrote generally, the acharya should be liberated, but those who act on the liberated platform, they can also act as acharyas. So practically, that's not only act as acharyas, but can give a valuable contribution also. This verse says they leave the means behind. They go and they leave the means behind by which others can also go. So the idea that no one can be fully pure, well, then what are we doing here? If we're always going to be conditioned souls, then what are we doing? Is that some kind of idea that Krishna consciousness doesn't work? Or is it some idea like Christianity, where in Christianity, it's a part of their belief or doctrine that no one can be fully pure. Only Jesus is fully pure. That gives them a license to go on being impure. And they say that, well, Jesus died for our sins and we go on sinning. And Jesus will save us. So it doesn't push us to be fully pure. Whereas, as Srila Prabhupada told us so many times, one has to be fully pure to go back to Godhead. Well, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're on the path of perfection. Of course, There is an institutional problem, we can say, within ISKCON, that we are, it's generally understood that the gurus or those who are giving initiation within ISKCON, they may be exalted devotees, but they may not be fully there all the way. That's the general understanding. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's how it's generally understood, isn't it? That, and definitely that no one's on the level of Srila Prabhupada, although one should become on the level in as much as one should become a pure devotee. But then it's again, it's like we can become like Krishna, fully pure, but not like Krishna, so powerful. So in the same way, we should become like Srila Prabhupada, fully devoted to Krishna, but it's not expected that we can become to such a powerful acharya as was Srila Prabhupada. So it's going on like that, that the gurus are expected at least to act on the liberated platform. The problems arise when they don't act on the liberated platform, and there have been, and maybe, so many problems within our society when the gurus don't act on the liberated. At least they should follow the rules and regulations, which Srila Prabhupada mentions in this purport, 16 rounds, four regulated principles. Srila Prabhupada mentions it so many times. Now, there is a theory going around, it's becoming quite popular, I know. My dear friend and godbrother, Nrisimhananda, who's here, not exactly here, but he was here in Mangalarti. He's an advocate of this idea that, well, traditionally everyone just chose their guru, and in ISKCON we shouldn't have a system whereby the GBC rubber stamps them. There is a GBC member here, right? Hriday Chaitanya Prabhu, he's also here but not here. I'd just like to talk about that a little bit. It's not necessary that traditionally everyone chose their guru. We can give an example. You'd think that such an intelligent devotee as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he should be able to choose his guru. He was told by Bhaktivinoda Thakur who to take initiation from, isn't it? And if anyone was intelligent enough, he would be. He is most intelligent. And traditionally, at least women, they wouldn't choose. There's whoever their husband was, they'd go along with that. So it's not at the same time, we don't want to get into this kind of thing where one is just a family guru and then just it becomes like a caste, guru caste. There's the Baba caste, and the son is the father, the grandfather is a Baba, the father is a Baba, the son is a Baba, and the grandson is a Baba, and like that. So you're just a guru by birth, that's all. And then there's no real impetus to come to the platform of being actually qualified to give. Although as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the sixth chapter of Gita in one purport that there are many acharya families who in every generation they produce acharyas, and they're I've seen in my travels throughout this blessed land of India, I'm particularly interested in the traditional culture here, not in the Bollywood culture. I've met many people of acharya families, and they carry on with the tradition. They study the shastra, they worship the Lord, and they're very pure by their tradition. And they know that I'll have to give initiation later, and they do that. But they have a very strong sense of bhakti. It may be Gaudiya or Sri Vaishnava or whatever. So we don't want to make it just some kind of formality. Devotees should have some kind of qualification, some kind, well, specific qualifications to act as gurus. We could say that we should just let anyone choose as they like, but some, I'm just saying from an institutional point of view, some guidelines have to be given, because although anyone can choose who they want to take an initiation from, the institution of ISKCON also wants to see who's representing them. Just to give an example, someone may join ISKCON, they get initiated, their guru passes away, he's been in the movement 2 years, he's very neophyte, and he thinks, well, now I'll give initiation. He's not really fit to give initiation. Or it may be that he's a very charismatic figure who's very attractive to young women, and he uses the position of a guru to exploit them, and then he tells them, this is all my leela. And such things do go on. I'm not within ISKCON, but it does go on within the broad... Such things have been known to go on within the broader Hindu society. So if someone comes along and says, you see, I'm Brahmin initiated by so-and-so, and I want to worship Radha Ras Bihari, and they may say, well, sorry. And, well, I want to live in the Brahmacharya Ashram. Sorry. We can't have you going around and telling others, my guru is Paramahamsa, and yes, he has sex with all his disciples, but anyway, you don't judge like that, and talking nonsense. So that's just a gross example of what could happen. And there may be more subtle deviations also that want to be, that the institution has to guard against. Now, actually, the GBC as a body doesn't choose or rubber stamp anyone exactly, but they do have a system whereby the local leaders who know devotees who are proposed for giving initiation, they may recommend that, yes, acceptable to us. That's all. So it's not such a simple question as saying, everyone should just choose whoever they like, because who's taking initiation, it's all neophyte devotees, and they may be easily misled, and there may be plenty of people who want to take advantage of the ISKCON institution to mislead others. And why should the whole facility that the ISKCON institution sets up allow itself to be exploited by cheaters or by people who are not fit to represent it at the most... as the most sacred office of giving initiation. So it could be a big discussion, but I just want to offer that, because if you hear that, anyone can give initiation, let anyone do, and why should we regulate it? But I'm just offering another perspective, that there could be good reasons for having some kind of regulation and not just letting anyone and everyone initiate. I heard the book scores this morning. I said, great, but that was not yesterday. They did that was the Sangitan party came back. Yeah, when I heard that big score, I thought, oh! And then I thought, well, either it's by donation or it's the Sangitan party who came back. How long were they out for? 9,000? 1 month. They just came back after the marathon. Where were they? Maharashtra. Maharashtra is always good. You used to travel. You were mostly in Andhra, weren't you? You liked to go to Andhra at that time mostly, wasn't it? As far as I remember. Yeah, the undivided Andhra at that time. Those two states were always very good, huh? Maharashtra and Andhra Pradesh. And still. And what's the most popular book being sold? Still? Bhagavad Gita, even though we've distributed lakhs and lakhs, it's still the most popular, which means we've still got a lot of work to do. And we used to, what was the most parties we had at one time? I think it was 8 at one time going out from here, wasn't it? Yes. 8 parties at one time. So we're supposed to double it. So I'm known for being nasty and I get away with it, so one's not enough. Get more parties out. Send these brahmacharis out. Let them distribute books. There's such a great need for this. One thing that more and more we're discovering is the set distribution. Do you remember when we were first distributing books? I remember I was first distributing books in India in 1976. And people, I was in Bengal mostly, and people really used to think about it before they bought a book because they didn't have much money. At that time in Calcutta, most people went around without shoes, any footwear. I remember I came to Bombay, we stopped at the light, and a woman comes up begging, and she's got chappals. I think, what is this? She's begging, and most people, she's got chappals on, and most people in Calcutta don't, they can't even afford that. So India's economic position has picked up. So there's great scope for distributing sets of books. Why don't we make a plan? It means you make a plan. For, okay, 2020 just began. How many thousands of Bhagavatam sets are you going to distribute this year? Let's think bigger. I mean, the opportunity is there. Right here in Bombay, you can go door to door, cold, without any introduction, and tell people the Bhagavatam. You can promote it. Devakinandan Prabhu is doing his Bhagavad Saptah. Put it out. We have the internet now. Promote it like anything. In Tamil Nadu, there was it was being telecast lectures in Tamil by one Sri Vaishnav on Bhagavatam. And that just boosted our Bhagavatam. We just go door to door and sell Bhagavatams. People, they were taking an interest. Let's do it. What does Prabhupada want most of all? He wants his books distributed. Tremendous scope here in India. India's already ahead of the whole far. I think if you put all the rest of the world together, still it doesn't add up to what India does in book distribution. But we're still only doing less than 1% of what we could be doing, isn't it? Tremendous scope. We should be distributing books, and then there's mostly ISKCON's doing a very good job of reaching the pious Hindus. All of you who are here today, you are all pious Hindus before you came here. Otherwise, why would you come? What about the impious Hindus? There are a lot of them too, right? The Christians, the Muslims, the Jains. There's a lot of atheists also. We have a lot of work to do. I was just reading yesterday that Harishori Prabhu was saying that Prabhupada, he was very interested in preaching in the villages in India. He said that we're making our temples in the cities, but most of the people are in the village. Is it still true that most of the people are? It must be 50% now, and it's gradually going urbanization. But still, the people in the villages, they're more pious. Another thing he said, this was not to Harishori, to Rameshwar, he said that Krishna saved the people in the villages in India by they're not educated, and then they're saved from Darwin's theory and all nonsense like that. So we find the people in the villages, they still tend to be more pious. Just like there's that area in Delhi, Rohini. Maybe you went there. There's a nice temple there, everything. So they have so much good preaching there. Why? It's a new area. It's all people moving in from MP, UP, Rajasthan, HP. They're all village people and they're very pious. There's a lot of scope to do in, lot of work to do in the villages. Of course, there's a lot of work to do right here in Bombay. There's a lot of work to do right here in Ras Bihari Temple. Even if you never walked outside this temple, you could be fully busy preaching all your life. There's so much work to do right here. But I'm just brainstorming on the sitting here, but how much there is Actually, the ISKCON should be giving a spiritual direction to the whole society. We've got the knowledge. There are all these different gurus and this and that, but they have nothing actual to give. They don't have Srimad Bhagavatam like this, actual knowledge. Yesterday I was speaking with a group of young, smart, intelligent Mumbaikas. And we were talking about the problems in Kashmir. And I said to them, you see, it's not only Kashmir, all over the world, there's no peace. There's dissension and discord and fighting the reason is, as long as there's not peace in people's hearts, then there won't be peace in society. And there won't be peace in people's hearts because there's kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya. And there's kam, krodh, lobh, mada, matsarya because people are not God conscious. So what we really need to do is to spread God consciousness, whether you say Islam or Hinduism or whatever. If you're talking about Kashmir, you can't just tell everyone to chant Hare Krishna. But you have to, Prabhupada said, you chant the name of God that is appropriate to you. And he thought, oh, I've been researching on Kashmir for 4 years. I never thought of that. And it struck him. And then I mentioned from Bhagavad Gita that what we really need in society, instead of this democracy which divides people actually into different groups, especially the way it's conducted in India, because the politicians make their vote banks and all this kind of thing. What we really need is a Rajarshi, who's a Raja and a Rishi. I said, really? Oh, I never thought of that. What we take as normal, what we discuss in our classes, that is, it's actually very high knowledge, and it's not just something we're talking about, something happened 5,000 years ago. This knowledge is absolutely applicable to the world here today, and the world needs it. And India needs it more than anything, because Srila Prabhupada, we see Srila Prabhupada, he established Krishna consciousness in the West, and then he used to go on tours around the West, but he spent most of his time here in India. And he brought money from the West. He gave the example, just like that the Ravana has kidnapped Lakshmi and taken her away. And Ram, he brought her back. So he said like that, I've gone to the... Lakshmi is in the West, is in the... with the demons. And I have an army of monkeys and they're helping me to bring back to it. Bring back to India. So he put his time and his energy and his money here. And he said again and again and again, Bharata bhumite hoilo manusha janma ja janma shata kari karo para upaka. Prabhupada quoted this again. I've been listening to Prabhupada. Again and again, he would just meet Indian people and speak with them for the first time and tell them, you should be a guru and preach all over the world. He didn't say that to Westerners. For Indians, he said, it's natural for you to be Krishna conscious. You should take, why are you not doing your duty? So actually this knowledge, just like Srila Prabhupada, he preached on the platform of spiritual knowledge, isn't it? When he met people, he would preach, he would tell them, explain to them intelligently how this body is temporary, we are eternal, therefore we should not invest all our energy into something which is temporary. We should see to our eternal life. There must be God. How can you deny? There must be a controller. Nothing comes into being by chance. Prabhupada would preach like this, appealing to people's intelligence. So he wanted intelligent Indian people especially to take this up and preach it all over the world. There's no shortage of intelligence in it. Well, actually, there is a shortage of intelligence because they all go to America. And then they use their intelligence for promoting Google and Microsoft and all this. But There are so many intelligent people in India, but what I see, we are attracting people, but mostly on the platform of piety. We haven't broken through to those people who are, they're not really interested in ISKCON. They see it as, hey, it's a temple, it's nice, and the grandmothers, they go there, and you can go there and pray and this and that. Maybe Janmashtami, you can go. It's nice, and they come and ask for a donation. I'll give them a donation, but then they don't think that it's anything that really applies to their life. They have their real life and their real problems, and they're getting on in the world and trying to make their career a success. How do we reach through to them? If you say, Hare Krishna, they say, yeah, okay, Hare Krishna, yeah, all right, it's good, it's nice. But they're not particularly, it hasn't caught their attention of their intelligence. There's something to apply their intelligence to. But there's no doubt that Srila Prabhupada was the most intelligent person, and he's given us this knowledge which is meant for thoughtful people. And we have the solutions to all the problems in the world. How to implement that, that we have to see. You try to solve problems and you just make more problems. We have to purify the consciousness. That can be done by mass sankirtan. So we've got this temple was set up. Beautiful temple. You don't realize how beautiful it is because you all live in it every day and you get used to it. But I know myself, again, when I first came to Bombay after being in traveling in the villages in Bengal, I came. I was shocked by seeing that chandelier. Oh, it's amazing. And you couldn't imagine all the people, the village people, they come every day, right? Thousands and thousands of people. They're looking, oh, something. So it's for the glory of Krishna. Krishna should live in the best building. But it's also to impress people. And then they should listen to what we have to say. That's the idea. They should listen to what we have to say. So we should say what they need to hear, right? When people think of ISKCON, they think Dhammaridham, still some. Isn't it? Some people think like that. Not many, but still. And, oh, they think, oh yeah, nice, they build temples. And nowadays they think they feed school children. But what is the actual message? Ladva sudur labamidang bahu sambhavante manusham artadam anityam apihadhira turnam yatetana patedanum rityayava nishrayasaya vishayakulu sarvatasyat. This message, that we have this human form of life. It's very rare. We achieved it after many births. It's temporary. It doesn't last very long. So instead of engaging in sense gratification, which even animals do, even plants do, even insects do, we should utilize this human form of life for getting free from birth and death. So this is the message that we have to impress on others. And Srila Prabhupada very kindly left behind these, what shall we say about Prabhupada's books? There's no word which can describe. They are Krishna. Krishna has manifested himself in the form of these books. So we should distribute them widely and speak this message, communicate. See that this message is communicated to others. That should be our New Year's resolution, every year, every day. Hare Krishna. Please don't clap. Not meant for clapping. It's not meant to be entertainment. It's supposed to be food for thought. Any questions or comments? Yeah, I thought you'd say something. I thought you'd have something to say because you listen with your intelligence. You listen not only with your ears but with your intelligence. I know because I've been coming here for many years.
Thank you. I will. As you said, we should practically help people. So recently there was one case that one drunk man was beating his wife and children in the middle of the night after drinking, and that wife came to me, but I had no idea how to help her. So within our Gaudiya Vaishnava framework, how can we help such people who approach us?
How can we help people in specific situations? That we have to see, as Prabhupada mentions in this purport, according to time, place and circumstance. If you don't know what to do and it's some emergency kind of thing, pray to Krishna. Krishna will give you the intelligence, what to do. You might want to go and just restrain the man from beating his wife. You might not. You might end up getting killed yourself. There was a case like that in Belgium where a devotee saw someone, I can't remember exactly, but it's something like this, where a devotee saw someone stopping someone on a bicycle and threatening them with a knife, and the devotee went and started to beat that person, and the devotee got slashed with the knife so bad that he was almost killed. So we have to see in each situation what to do. It's another major problem, drunkenness. If we have prohibition, Prabhupada writes about that in one purport, that the government of Maharashtra, I actually was not Maharashtra at the time, I think it was even before that, because Maharashtra, in between independence and making all the different states, the states came into being when? About 1950, something like that. 1960, was it so late? So there was. So Prabhupada wrote that in Bombay, they made prohibition, but then but it's just like in Gujarat, there's alcohol is forbidden and by law, and alcohol is everywhere. And Prabhupada wrote that you can't, just by making rules, if people, they have the desire to take alcohol, they'll circumvent the rules. And in the history of America, the period of the most famous period for gangs and crime, organized crime, was during the period of Prohibition, where Al Capone, the famous, maybe you heard the name, he's famous even now, he was famous, he organized gambling and alcohol, all these things. So simply by law, you can't stop these things. Even the police themselves like to drink. So if you outlaw it, just like often I used, from my hippie days, I used to hear sometimes the police would stop the hippie, search them, find the hashish, say thank you very much, and go off. They'd use it themselves or sell it themselves. So what's really required is... what's really required is purification. It won't happen in one day, but there should be a mass movement to purify the consciousness. Tadvag visargo janataga viplavaha. Revolution. The whole society needs to be changed from the misguided goal of life. In the meantime, there are problems like this. How do we deal with it? That kind of thing, it's better that we sit and discuss. Because this kind of thing is going to come up again and again. It used to be that family quarrel, you just let them go on with it. Isn't it? When you were young in India, family quarrels are nothing new. But it used to be that, okay, husband and wife are fighting, just leave it. Let them sort it out among themselves. And they would sort it out, they'd go on with it. Sort it out means they'd go on with their life. Nowadays, the The wife can complain to the police, and immediately the husband is arrested without any evidence. There are so many cases of. So they put it to the, they put the pendulum the other way. That just by the wife can complain, and immediately the husband, the father-in-law, everyone's locked away. So how do we operate in a practically in a society which has all these strange laws and very bad situations that we have to see? I don't have an easy answer for that of just like that, and it's not just by magic. We have to see how to deal with individual situations. But in that particular situation where someone came to you in the night, I would say, if you don't know what to do and there's no one there to take advice from, just pray to Krishna what's the best thing to do.
For the first time I felt that we are relishing and cherishing the glorious pastimes of Krishna. But when such a lady comes to me,
She was a devotee, the husband?
No. Are staying in faraway villages in Maharashtra. But that lady's brother came to me, that how you can help?
So I see.
So I thought, I don't have any ready-made formula to solve within the paraphernalia of ISKCON. Not going outside to some tantric or like that. But we don't have any ready-made.
Well, what we should do then, you can organize, you have a Sankirtan festival in that village. How about that? And make, because it all, our program is to uplift everyone, and in villages especially, or especially in castes, people don't live as individuals, they work as a group. Right? So organize a Sankirtan festival, distribute prasad, and then go to the elders in the village and tell them that, look, you have to see to this. They're probably all drinking too, that's the problem. Yad yad acharati shreshtas.
Thank you, sir.
Tell them that the goal of life is God consciousness. You're going to die soon. If you're sinful, then you have to go to hell. So get uplifted. The thing is, we need hundreds and thousands of preachers. There are how many villages in India? How many lakhs of villages? Who can say? 6 lakhs of villages. Mr. Statistics is over here. Thank you. 6 lakhs of villages. We need a guru in every village. Really? We need spiritual guidance everywhere. So really we have to train people up to become the leaders of society. That's what Prabhupada wanted his movement to be, that he'd give spiritual direction. This is just one instance, but all over the world there's so many problems. They will continue unless we do what this verse says. We deliver to, of course, all the devotees are trying their best, but we just have to think how much scope there is, or how much people are suffering, how much we have to do to bring this knowledge to others. We should stop representing ourselves as a yoga movement or a feeding the poor movement and tell this is the movement, back to Godhead movement. This is the movement which can give that which is everyone is missing in their life. This is the movement which can solve all the problems by bringing up to a higher level. Why don't we tell the people? Here in India at least, people are willing to hear, isn't it? At least you're all willing to hear, you came. Urgent message. Ahani, ahani, bhutani, gacchantyaha yamalayam. Every day so many people are going to hell. We should catch them before they go. Give them the books. At least give them the books. Hold festivals. Give people the chance to join in the Sankirtan. Anything else?
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaji, I belong to Bengal, and you know there is a big community, so-called Vaishnava. They eat fish, and there is a guru also. And my family is also attached, and I was initiated initially before joining ISKCON. Now the problem is, I started preaching there in that area. So now they are against us. They are saying we eat fish and we cannot give away our guru. So if you are accepting our guru, then
Hari Hari Bol or Magor Mache Jol. Shita Bale, no? Ami Jani. Ami oh Shekhani Chalamon Ekden.
Yes.
Amade Cheshta Korta Hobe. Grahan Korbe Kena Shita Eder Hate. Amade Cheshta Korta Hobe. Na shunle amra aro jare prachar korbe. Book distribution, best. Opposition will be there. That's for sure. If there's, Prabhupada said, if there's opposition, that shows that we're doing our job properly. If people, definitely people will oppose. If we're speaking what people need to hear, then the rascals and demons, they will oppose, for sure. Ah, yeah, please.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, give the mic.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, just an observation. You mentioned rural people are more pious, but Srila Prabhupada himself went to the West and met famous intellectuals, like in the Soviet Union, he met the professor of Indology, Professor Kotovsky or something. So even in India, it's the intelligentsia which determines the opinion and sets the, as in mental framework for people to follow. So don't you think, I agree with you on the rural people being pious. Apart from that, shouldn't it be spread in the urban centers and the West?
Krishna consciousness spread to everyone, everywhere.
Right.
I was quoting Prabhupada in saying that we should concentrate in India, in the villages. He said that one time, at least one time. Because there's many, many people can take to Krishna consciousness very easily. That doesn't mean that city preaching should be neglected. He didn't say abandon all these temples. Srila Prabhupada worked so hard to build these temples. So, Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyascha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.